Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Looking at the subject preparing for Christmas. Luke chapter 2. And shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to come tonight to sing praises to you and to hear these songs played. And I pray now the Holy Spirit would work in our hearts from thy precious word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 2, let's start in verse 8 tonight. Luke 2, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. What do we do to prepare for Christmas? Well, this morning we saw a couple things. First of all, we consider the needs of others. That's the first thing. The second thing we saw is we select gifts then for others and wait upon God to do that. And tonight, excuse me, the next point, we set a date for the gathering. So we're talking about preparing for Christmas. We begin to notice, hopefully a few months ago, some needs of people and began to pray. And then we began to select things that would be the Lord would have us to get. But somewhere along the line, we've got to set a date for a gathering. And so we have to work that out with all the different families when we can meet together in fellowship and remember Jesus' birth. But what would happen if you began to consult with your family and they all said, well, sorry, that date's filled. How about this one? No, sorry, that one's filled. How about this one? No, that one's gone. Weekend before, weekend after. Well, how about 2 weeks before? Nope, can't do that. 2 weeks after? Nope, can't do that. Well, when are you available? Well, I guess I'm not. What would you think? What would you say? Whose birthday do we celebrate on December 25th? Ours? Christ, okay, Jesus. It's Jesus' birthday we celebrate on that date, not ours. As the church gathers together, why do we gather together? Is it not to worship the Lord? That should be why we gather. Okay. Notice then in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1. Okay. We celebrate Christmas to observe the Lord's birth, his coming to earth. And as we gather together as a church, our focus is to be worshiping the Lord. Colossians 1, verse 12. Colossians 1, 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of what? Darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of what? His dear Son. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and what? For him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. You know what? They're going to find it out in the tribulation period that by Jesus all things consist. All things are held together by him, because in the tribulation period, things are going to start unraveling. Stars are going to fall from heaven, and they're going to find out that he was controlling all things. But verse 18, and he, Jesus, is the what? the head of the body, the what? The church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have what? The preeminence. That our focus might be on him. The focus should be on him. What we're finding in this day is that people are trying to create seeker-sensitive churches instead of savior-sensitive. They come to please man instead of to please God. And that is the big and fatal difference. That's what's happening today. So we gather together to worship the Lord. Also in Ephesians 3, just emphasizing that point, that we come to glorify God. And thinking about Christmas, it's not to be our day, it's his day. Ephesians 3 in verse 17. Ephesians 3:17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by what? By faith. You know, sometimes I've read people say, well, you know what? It's not scriptural to ask Jesus into your heart. What does it say? That Christ may dwell where? In your hearts by what? By faith. There's nothing wrong at all with teaching a child to ask the Lord Jesus Christ into his or her heart, to obviously emphasizing that repenting of their sin and asking Jesus Christ to come into their hearts by faith. Here's the verse. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto who? Him, Christ, be glory in where? The church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So we are to gather together to worship the Lord. The only reason we celebrate Christmas is Christ's birth. So a quick review of that. We're here to worship the Lord. There's no Christmas without Christ. But you know what happens if Christmas falls on a Sunday or a Wednesday? What does the church do? It cancels their service a lot of times. If it lands on a Sunday, most churches will not have a Sunday evening service. I'm talking about even Baptist churches. If Christmas lands on a Sunday, even most Baptist churches now will not have a Sunday evening service. What's Christmas about? Christ. Why does the church gather together? To worship the Lord? Well, then why would we cancel church on Christmas? That's strange. If Christmas lands on a Wednesday night, a lot of churches will not have church on Wednesday night. Well, not have a service. So, things to think about. Okay. Notice with me Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Hebrews 10, 25. The Bible says, not forsaking the what? The assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the what? The more as you see the day approaching. So as we see the Lord's return approaching, we ought to gather together so much the more as a church. So so we set a date for a gathering, the Christmas. There's these other plans are going on, but we have to set a date. We have to come up with a date where people are willing to gather together to fellowship. Now, most of the world has no time for Jesus. I mean, they have no time for him. They have no time for that day of salvation. Look in Luke chapter 14. They're busy. They have no time to set aside for a day of salvation. They can't ever seem to find a convenient season to be saved, whether it's King Agrippa or whether it's Felix or Festus, whoever it might be. They never seem to find a convenient day, the right time. They say, almost, thou hast persuaded me to be a Christian, but not. yesterday, I first stopped witnessing a young man. Well, actually, a car. I and another person, man, was meeting at the same driveway. And I didn't know he wanted to turn in, but when I saw, I was starting to turn in and saw that's what he wanted to do, so I backed up and let him go in. I figured, well, he probably knows these people better than I do, because I didn't know him at all. So I let him pull in, and he looked kind of like the dad, and this looked like kind of like the son. This son had on the back of tailgate an intake manifold. Sorry, ladies, I don't know how to explain what that is, but anyway, it's an intake manifold and a shiny four-barrel carburetor on top of that. And so he was talking to his dad, and he really didn't want to stop and even acknowledge that I was standing there, but finally he did. But the world just doesn't want to take time to hear about the Lord. Notice there in Luke 14 and verse 15. Luke 14:15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make what? Excuse. You know what? Every one of us could write a book of excuses, couldn't we? Every one of us. They all began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought what? Piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. When I read that, I often think about these people who buy property through an advertisement and they've never seen it. You know, it could be a swamp, you know. Well, maybe this guy had actually seen it. Maybe he just wanted to go see it again. I don't know. But he bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Verse 19, and another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to what? Prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. I mean, this guy just can't wait to go to work. I mean, you don't, we talked about toys this morning. Oxen are not toys. They're things you work with. He had to go prove them. Verse 20, another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So all these things, whether it's verse 18, material goods, I bought a piece of ground, whether it's work, verse 19, the oxen, or whether it's family, verse 20. There's the world is filled with excuses why people won't take time to get saved. They're too busy. There's always something. Verse 21, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and what? Compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. If you go back to verse 15, we're talking about the kingdom of God. So, when it comes to the world, they will not take time to set aside a day for salvation. They'll not take time for the Lord. And so we compel them to come in. So they don't have time for a day of salvation, and the world does not have time for the day of the Lord's return. They didn't have time when he came. They didn't have time to stop and get saved. They don't have time for when he comes back. Notice in Matthew 24, it's going to be the same way. You notice in God's house, there's room. He said, there's room. We went out into the highways and hedges and compelled them to come in, and yet there is room. There's room. We've invited the poor, the maimed, the halt, but there's room. And yet, when Jesus was born, when he came, there was no room for him in the inn. No room. Matthew 24, and when he comes again, people are going to be so busy, they're not going to have room. No time. Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also what? The coming of the Son of Man be. As the days of Noah. Well, what were they like? Verse 38. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were what? Eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and what? Took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. They're busy. Verse 38, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. They're making plans. But, I know there are Las Vegas-type marriages. You know, these people who, you know, go out drinking and run to Las Vegas to get married, and then, you know, it ends about that quick, too. But most people, when they get married, make plans. And so the idea here is that people were making plans in Noah's day, but God wasn't in those plans. He wasn't in those plans. They were busy. They were partying. They had no time for the Lord's return. Notice also in Luke 17, reiterates this and adds some things. Luke 17. So the coming of the Son of Man is going to be like the days of Noah. You know what? In the days of Noah, people didn't make plans to get right with God. They just went on their way. Luke 17, verse 26. And as it was in the days of who? Noah. So shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also as it was in the days of who? Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. You know what? If you plan on dying tonight, you're not going to build or buy or sell. You're not going to sell, build, buy. All of those things means you plan on living tomorrow. And so those people in Sodom didn't plan on dying that late night or early morning when the fire from God fell. So as we continue on here, and let's see the verse here. It was in verse 26. In verse 28, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the days when who? The Son of Man is revealed. So when Jesus comes back, it's going to be like the days of Noah and like the days of Lot. In both cases, they're eating, drinking, they had plans, building, selling, buying, and they were not ready. So when the Lord came the first time, what we're celebrating right now, his birth, the people were not ready for him. Notice with me in Malachi chapter 3. The majority of people were not ready for Jesus' coming. And it was prophesied that they would not be ready. I want you to think about that. It was prophesied that they would not be ready. What did we just read? It was prophesied that when the Lord comes back, it's going to be the same way. The majority of people are not going to be ready. They're not going to make time in their calendar for the Lord's return or serving the Lord. I don't think that fully sinks in to our thoughts. Malachi 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. What did he do when he came to his temple suddenly? He had to cast out the money changers. He had to cast out those who were buying and selling in his house. They were not ready for him. He shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall what? Stand when he appeareth. For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And on he goes there. So they were not ready. At his first coming, it interrupted the leader's plans. It interrupted their security. You know, I never realized it, but you know what, young people? When you're in school, you really have security. You may say, How? All these tests that I face, I seem rather insecure. I have to study for these tests, and I never know if I'm going to pass or fail. You call that security? Well, the one thing you know, it's God's will that you finish your course. You have that set before you to finish. You don't have to worry about other things. That is God's will for those 13 years or whatever. And so that's security. But when that is ended, you'll find out then that there are lots of decisions for you to make. One nice thing about having not much money is you don't have to make many decisions. But the more money you get, sometimes when I have the money to purchase something and then I have to make that decision, I get a headache. Have you ever had that problem? Say you need a new car or you need a, I don't know, a new tool or something, even need a new Bible. Brother Steve's got a nice new Bible, but he had to wait for that. That's really, the format is really nice, but there's so many choices, and sometimes you may think, what do I do? What do I do? The leaders were not ready for the Lord's coming. Notice with me in John chapter 11, it interrupted their security. John chapter 11. And they really went to extremes when that was interrupted. John 11, verse 46. John 11, 46. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Now, remember, Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. He was a Pharisee, John chapter 3. Well, we're talking about the Pharisees, those type of men right here, the religious leaders. Verse 47, then gathered the chief priest, okay, more leaders, and the Pharisees, a council, and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will what? Believe on him. Well, shouldn't they have said amen? I mean, if they were ready for the Messiah, wasn't the whole point the Messiah is coming? Get ready. Isn't that what religious leaders are supposed to do? Prepare a people for the Lord? And what are they saying? Well, if we let Jesus alone, and this goes on, all men are going to believe on him. It's too bad the next words we didn't read were, praise the Lord. But afraid that's not what we read. They says, all men, if we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the who? The Roman shall come and what? Take away. There are two things. Take away both our what? Place. Ooh. If we allow Jesus to continue, all people are going to look to him. They're going to quit looking to us. We're going to lose our positions as religious leaders. Boy, that'd be a pity, wouldn't it? I mean, what are we doing? Are we as Christians trying to get people to follow us? No, wrong answer. We're supposed to be getting them to follow him. I'm afraid it gets turned around too many times. They're afraid the Romans shall come and take away both our place and what? Nation. Two things bothered them. If we let Jesus continue on, the Romans are going to come. Well, that was really a lot of faith, wasn't it? They're more afraid of the Romans than God. So they're afraid of losing their positions. All people looked up to them. And then their nation. Well, I tell you, let's stop and think about that a moment. We lose our place. The Lord comes back. I don't get to preach anymore. Sunday school teachers don't get to teach anymore. Amen. Amen. I mean, it wasn't our lives to point people to him. If he's coming, praise the Lord. We want to hear him for a while. Amen. We want to look to him. That's like Curtis Hudson. I've told you this before, but he was teasing his wife, and someone said he was just a motto preacher, and so he just really rubbed it in, you know, and said, honey, what did they say about me? Oh, you're the motto preacher, honey. And well, she took that as long as she could, and finally she looked it up in the dictionary, and the next time he said that, honey, what did they say about me? You're the motto preacher, a small imitation of the real thing. He didn't use that one anymore. When the Lord comes back, it's the real thing. Amen. He's the one we're looking for. And just stop and think, okay, the Lord comes back. We lose the preacher and we lose our Sunday school teachers. And what else? Our nation. What would you say to that? Amen. Amen. We finally have someone, a leader we can call Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. What's so bad about that? I don't read the Constitution of the United States every day. I spend time in God's Word, I praise the Lord for the Constitution of the United States, and I believe our leaders should uphold it. But much higher than that paper or papers is the Word of God. So what? If we lose our religious leaders and lose our nation, there's something far better when the Lord comes back. But this is exactly what these leaders were lamenting. They're going to lose their place in their nation. In verse 49, and one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, ye know nothing at all. Well, that was the smartest thing he ever said. Ye know nothing at all. Verse 50, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should what? Die for the people. And that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself. In other words, he's not a saved man. He doesn't. God is using him to prophesy some things, to speak some things, but he didn't understand all what he was saying. This spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. And not for that nation only, but that he also should. He should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to what? Put him to death. So when confronted with a Savior, they immediately take offense and plot to put him to death. So, and since that time, they have plotted continually to put the Lord's people to death. In Acts chapter 7, they plotted to put Stephen to death. When he preached to them, Stephen reminded them of what they were doing. So many people wonder what everyone's going to think when the rapture takes place. They're going to say, all these people are going to be missing. What is the world going to think? How are they going to explain all these missing people? What did we just see? The coming of the Son of Man is like the days of who? Noah. How many people were spared? Eight. It also likened the Lord's coming to the days of Lot. Well, let's see. There was Lot, his two daughters and his wife. And on the way out, his wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. So only three, actually, all four were set outside of the city. I'm not saying that Lot's wife was not saved, but she looked back, she was disobedient, and God judged her. But so only four came out of Sodom. If the Lord's coming is like the days of Noah and like the days of Lot, who says there's going to be so many people missing when the rapture happens? I don't think we really understand the impact of it. Notice with me in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And in verse 20, 1 Peter 3:20, which sometime were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. So only eight. Only eight. And so as we stop and think, how many are going to be missing? Noah preached 100 years. I'm afraid too many times we just follow the crowd, even independent Baptist churches. We just follow the crowd. How many independent Baptist churches would support a Noah today? If he was preaching and saw only his family saved and three daughters-in-law who dared to enter such a kooky family, at least they seem kooks, but they did, and no one got on that ark. No one else. Well, notice what I mean in Luke 18. Here's another passage that tells us, you know what? There's not going to be as many as people think. How much of the world claims to be saved? How many of the world claims to be evangelical Christians? Well, I'm afraid the actual number is much, much smaller. In Luke 18, verse 1, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to what? Pray and not to what? Faint. You see, because the later the days get, the more the tribulation comes upon us. I'm not talking about the tribulation period, but we face tribulations. Can we not see it right now? It seems like every family is hurting in some way. With that in mind, keep reading. Here, we ought always to pray and not to faint, saying there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man, and there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary, and he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her what? Continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he what? Bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man what? Cometh. Okay, we're talking about something that's going to be true in the days when the Son of Man returns. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he what? Find faith on the earth? Does that sound like a whole bunch of people are going to be missing? Does that sound like half of the earth's population is going to go up in the rapture? Right now. Does that sound like a quarter of the earth's population is going to go up in the rapture? Sure don't sound like it to me. When the Lord says, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? That makes me think of John chapter 6. When the multitude is melting away, they're leaving him, and he turns to the 12. Will ye also go away? That's kind of my thought here when I think the Lord says, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Where do we get faith? Bible. Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How many people are going to be reading the Word of God in that day? How many people will have a copy of the pure Word of God in that day? I mean, how many people are buying the King James Version? It might be the best time all seller, but I tell you, the multitude of other translations. We just got some literature in the mail from Zondervan's, and I should have brought that flyer. I mean, they've got a different Bible for everything you can imagine. It's amazing. A different translation, it's ridiculous. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Shall we find faith? Remember what verse 1 said? Men ought always to what? Pray and not to what? Faint. The more trials and struggles that come upon us, the easier it is to feel like, what good does it do to pray? You're faced with one devastating news after another in our country. I have felt this way myself about our country. I felt like, I don't know what to pray anymore. It seems like every evil creature is in all these high positions and they have vile agendas and sodomites and abortion and all kinds of horrible things. They want to lead our country into socialism and communism, and they're destroying everything that took 200 and some years to build. They're sweeping it right away. And at times, oh, sure, I pray for our nation, but at times, I almost feel hopeless. I'm reading the book of Jeremiah right now, and I could just see USA, USA, USA all over the place in Jeremiah. The harder the days get. What kind of a judge was this in chapter 18? Unjust judge. Don't we see many times judgments against the right thing? 1973, so the U.S. Supreme Court goes against the Word of God and legalizes abortion. Throws the Bible out of schools. Throws prayer out of schools. Throws the Ten Commandments out of the courthouses. We're living in the days of the unjust judge. And in those days, verse 1, we've got to pray or we're going to faint. We cannot give up. And it reminds us there in verse 8, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? We've got to keep reading. Yes, judgment was coming on Israel, but God would bless Jeremiah because he was serving him and he was doing what was right. And so we take comfort. God will take care of us. So Christmas, preparing for Christmas, we've got to set a date. Got to set a date. When we're going to gather as a family and worship the Lord and remember his birth. And that should make us think, okay, if we need to set a time to remember his birth, we need to remember that when he came, people were not ready for him, and they rejected him. We need to remember in the same way the Bible prophesies that when he returns, the majority are not going to be ready. It says it's like the days of Noah. 8 people were ready out of how many millions or billions that lived on the earth? I don't know. Some people like Brother Hovind, you know, I forget the exact number, but he guesses there was a lot of people because of the long lifespan. There were a lot of people on the earth when the flood hit. But only 8 people. Remember what we talked about? What if we were the only 8 in Greenville out of 8,000? Would we remain steadfast? Or would we begin to think, you know what, I must be a fanatic. I must be looking at this too strict. It's got to be different because the majority just couldn't be fooled by the devil. Ah, but they are because God says they are. In the same way, when the Lord returns, he said it's going to be similar. It should cause something to light up in here. We've got larger churches than America or the world has ever had. In cities like Grand Rapids, I don't know how many churches in Grand Rapids have churches of multiple thousands of people. There's more than one. There's got to be several. It's probably surprising how many just in Grand Rapids. Churches of several thousand people. And that's all over the place, all over the United States and the world, it's that way. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. Something is wrong. And so the Bible says people are not going to be ready for his coming. They're not going to be prepared. When we get busy in life, who is often the first one who is shortchanged? It's God. It's God. When we get busy in life, you know, is it the weather report that gets shortchanged? or the news. I'm afraid most of the time it's this that gets shortchanged. It's the Bible. When we get busy, is it people we stop talking to? Or is it this? Is it God? Sorry, God, on the run. Talk to you later. Catch you later, God. When people get busy, is it work? I mean, do people say, you know what? I'm too busy, boss. I'm just too busy. Can't come in today. I'm sure you'll understand. Bye. No. It's God. It's God that gets shortchanged. Notice with me in closing in Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Matthew 6. I don't think we realize how many people in this world are deceived, thinking they're okay, but they're really unsaved. Matthew 6 and verse 33, but seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So I pray that the Lord would help us. Christmas celebrations take preparation. And we need to take time, and give God time. Most people are not going to be ready. People faint, they're fainting all around, and we as a church are facing more trials than I have ever seen in my life. It's just, we're all affected in some way. We all are. And it's not a time for us to get discouraged and faint. Men ought always to pray and not to what? Faint. We've got to keep praying. But we will not keep praying unless we have faith. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? That's why people are fainting like flies, because there's no faith. There's no confidence that it's doing any good to pray. Well, the only way we'll get confidence is this book right here, to know that it's worth it. It's God's word. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we do look to you, and we do find ourselves in trying times. And Lord, we know that our forefathers faced such times. We think of in World War II. We think of what people faced here in our country. Germany to the east and Japan to the west. It had to have seemed like the end of the world to many people. And yet you pulled this nation out of that terrible time. And Lord, we pause to think today of what will happen to our nation if we faint, if we give up, if we stop praying. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us in these trying times to be found faithful and not to faint. Help us to be in the Word of God every day and to be praying every day. And I pray that you would just bless this little flock, Lord, and help us and strengthen us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.